For those of you listening, I just want to let you know that chapter 15 can be a little dark. So I would skip ahead to 41 minutes, just because the content for younger kids, maybe not the best idea to listen to. Thank you so much for listening. All right, and hello to Star Wars fans of all ages. We are coming down, breaking down Star Wars The Old Republic Revan. This episode release date will be May the 12th. This is part two of this episode series. So I'm going to make this a three-part series after some thinking and cruising or perusing of the Star Wars Old Republic book. There are 29 chapters, and I'm going to try to get all 29 into three episodes. That way, you guys kind of have to wait to see what's next. You know, hopefully I'm doing a good job. Comment on, if your platform allows you to comment on it. Give me suggestions, advice, all good. Reviews, love them. Two rules for those, make them good. And if you really have a problem with something, please don't be negative. Try to write it in an uplifting, positive way. And then you can also call in or leave a message on this website, anchor.fm/legendslovers. That website allows you to call in and leave a message. I might play it on the show. So that's something to think about if you guys are listening out there. Just so you know, the platforms I'm on, Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, I am getting that fixed right now. Last episode, I found out, right before last episode, I found out that it was not working. So I have contacted Google Podcast or Anchor and to figure out how to get that fixed, because I need to get that fixed so people can listen to it, because maybe people can't listen to it. I don't know. But we're going to get into the summary. Starting off with chapter 9, where we left off, we're going to try to get through chapter 20 today. So hopefully we can get through that, and I'm hopefully doing a good job. Remember to comment down below or call in if you have a problem or a question. But let's get into it. So chapter 9 starts off with Revan, and he's on the Ebon Hawk. So if you are just listening to this and you haven't listened to the last episode, go back, because I haven't gotten super far in the book, but if you're starting off now, you're going to be a little bit confused. So check out my last episode. And so they're going to a planet called Rikad, I believe. It's a glacier-covered world that had never been settled. So, you know, it's just kind of like a rough, desolate ice planet, kind of like Hoth. But it's more glaciers instead of just snow. And so Candorous Ordo is trying to meet up with Mandalorians. So they're trying to find the mask of the Mandalore. And so he was the leader of the Mandalorians until defeated by Revan. So to give a little context, the Mandalore was the leader. That's pretty much it. Revan defeated him. Go back and check out my last episode for more context. And so they land, and Candorous Ordo is reuniting with his own clan. So Mandalore is a complex system of clans and tribes. I think they're all called clans. And then they're led by a Mandalore. So the clans have leaders, like kind of like a tribe chief. And then the whole system or planet has a Mandalore who is like the warrior leader, like a king. So they're meeting up with Candorous Ordo's clan, and they are meeting at their base. They're all, ever since Revan defeated the Mandalore and took his mask, the Mandalorians have been searching for it, and so they don't know exactly where it is. And so they all have territory on different planets, and once they search that territory, they kind of move on to another planet or more territory on that planet. But Revan and Candorous are meeting up with them, and they meet up with the clan, and as it turns out, Candorous Ordo was a great warrior during the time, but he left due to just the chaos after the end of the war. And so he left his clan there, and his wife, who is now the leader, and so they get into a little bit of a battle with the Mandalorians, but they figure it out, and so it's really quickly, and then no, not his wife, I believe it's his sister, no, yeah, it's his wife. Sorry for those who are listening. It's been a little while since I've read this book. But I am planning on actually getting someone else on the show. Maybe when I do my next book review, I'm planning on doing the Darth Bane series next. And then after that, I will be doing the Republic / Imperial Commando series. And then after that, I will be doing the Darth Plagueis novel. And then the Old Republic Deceived novel. And then I think I'll be doing the Thrawn, several of the Thrawn books. So probably the Outbound Flight and then the Thrawn trilogy, which is canon. But I am starting to collect, or I have been collecting some Thrawn books. So I think I'm going to be having like three or four of like, there's like 10 Thrawn books. Three of them are legends, like the rest of them are not. But I'll be getting all of the Thrawn books, and I will then go through and, in chronological order, break them down. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up within the next year. I'm going to be doing a lot of book summarizations. Most of them I've read recently, so not all of them will be like this one, but we're on chapter 10 now, so let's keep on moving. So, chapter 10, Scourge is waiting in a cave, and so he's expecting Darth Zedrix. So, he and Darth Nihrus in the last episode had been talking, and they had been formulating a plan to defeat Darth Zedrix, because he has been on the council the longest. So he's the oldest or longest reigning member of the Dark Council. It's all like a fight for them. Like, just because they're all on the same team doesn't mean there's not a lot of infighting. Most of the time, the Sith warriors and Sith lords are fighting among themselves more than they are against the Jedi. Especially at this time, because the Jedi aren't really their enemies. They are their enemies. Always the Jedi will be the Sith's enemies. But the Jedi don't know about the Sith's existence currently. They think the Sith are extinct. And because the Sith are hiding out in the unknown regions. Everyone but Revan knows. And so, Darth Zedrix and Scourge meet in a hill, in a cave that's near a hill. And Darth Zedrix has an escort, but they're kind of behind him. They're not really close, but they're there, and they're Sith acolytes. So they're acolytes are kind of like Sith warriors, but they're not nearly as strong in the Force as Sith lords. So Sith lords or Dark Council members usually are stronger in the Force. And so he's a human, and so humans are looked down on by the Sith as a lesser species at this time. Even though later in the Sith timeline, Sith purebloods are looked on as equal to humans, and then everything else is below them. Before this, thousands of years before this, back when the Dark Jedi first met with the Sith, they looked down on the Sith. Most Sith were below them. There were several Sith that were respectable, but they weren't as intellectual as the humans. But now, at this point, the humans are in a lesser position. But even though he's a lesser being, or lesser species, Zedrix is still a very powerful member of the Dark Council. That's why he's in the Dark Council. He's a very powerful Sith force to be reckoned with. And so Scourge is hiding this time too. So he's trying to surprise him. So he attacks Darth Sidious and eventually, I believe, defeats. Yes, he defeats both of his acolytes and kills all of his guards. And all this time, he's fighting and slaughtering these guards. Darth Sidious is just watching in the center of the cavern. But he has his lightsaber drawn. He's ready. And he knows that Scourge is Nyriss's new pet, as he states it. And so he's kind of like insulting the purebloods. Like, why do you always choose ludicrous names for yourselves? And so Scourge kind of like prepares to assault him, and Zedrix just laughs at him and talks. And so they're kind of like, for those of you who have seen like Count Dooku and Anakin Skywalker, everyone talking, or when they battle, they're talking, or like when Darth Maul and Ahsoka are battling, it's a little bit different. But when they're on Mandalore in the throne room, they're both ready to fight, but they're exchanging words. And so now, like they start to battle. Zedrix tries to. He unleashes purple lightning. I don't remember if purple lightning is stronger than blue lightning. I know yellow lightning is very weak. Plo Koon actually has the ability to use yellow lightning. So comment if you can down below and let me know what you guys find out. If you want me to do a podcast on Sith powers like lightning, you know what? Also comment in or call in, because I mean, someone calls in, I listen to the message, and that can take up the whole time of the meeting. It can take up 5 minutes. It depends on the question, the discussion, if I have a guest with me, all that kind of stuff. And so, they continue to battle and talk, and Scourge is kind of trying to overpower Zedrix. And I believe Zedrix is trying to, like, he's trying to, like, get Scourge to turn on Nyriss. But Scourge finds out that he's really not as strong as he really is. Like, he could feel the power, but in reality, that was just a fake. And so he quickly dispatches Zedrix once he fully tests Zedrix. So I think that in and of itself is why the purple lightning is not as strong. I think that may be it. But I would love if someone was like, "Hey, no, you're wrong," or "Hey, yes, you're right," about the purple lightning. If you think I'm right, think I'm wrong, say yes, you're right. Hashtag purple, hashtag Sith Lightning, and then you're right, or something like that. I don't know. If you can comment, if you can't comment, call in. I'm gonna plug the call in and the commenting the whole time. So remember, we're planning on getting to chapter 20, but right now we're only on chapter 11. So we're already 14 minutes into it. So if it hits 45 minutes and we're not at chapter 20 yet, I will pause the next chapter and we'll continue going. We're gonna slowly and steadily try to get the episodes a little bit longer. So yeah, chapter 11. So Revan is very, like, it's, remember, they're on the glacier planet, so they're all very cold. And so he's remembering him in a memory with him and Malik. So here, I'll read it to you guys. Reverend shivered in the cold. Beside him, Malik said something, but the fierce wind whipped across the plateau, devoured his words. What? Reverend shouted. Are you sure it's here? Malik called back. It's here, Reverend said with a nod. I can feel it. Maybe it's on the other side. Reverend glanced over at the other peak rising up beside them, barely visible through the swirling snow. It was nearly identical to the one they were on, a tall, narrow column of wind-carved ice and snow, rising up several kilometers from Rakad's surface, its peak worn to a smooth, flat plane of ice. This is the one, Revan answered confidently. The entrance is around here somewhere. The two figures moved slowly back and forth across the exposed plateau, searching with the force as much as with their eyes. Here, Malik shouted. I found it. So they are looking for a Sith. I believe it's a Sith tomb. And this is where, in fact, he leaves the Mandalorian or the Mandalore mask. And so this is kind of a memory of him looking for the Sith tomb. Because he found out that the Sith confronted the Mandalore. But he's still searching for it. He doesn't know of Korriban and the Sith planet. He doesn't know of that. That is not yet knowledge for the normal Jedi. That is really knowledge later on, after the Sith make themselves known. Because Revan is the only one that knows about the Sith, and so depending on what happens at the end of the book, he could, you know, not tell everyone, and no one can know what happens to the Sith, or if they come out. But eventually, they do and start a war with the Jedi. But Revan wakes from this dream, and he's kind of like groggy, and they're in a thermal tent, and so yeah, and so Candarus, he's trying to, you know, just remember what's happening, and he kind of just thinks about what happened recently, the ship, the Ebon Hawk, Ebon Hawk, Candace Ordo, his wife, Vila. And so he thinks about the dream, and he's like, is it a dream or is it a memory? And so talking about that, he's like, nope, it's definitely a memory. So and Candace Ordo wakes or is wake woken up by Revan, and so they are meeting, and so Vila is the leader, and so Candarus and Revan are trying to tell them or helping them find the Mandalore mask, and so whoever holds the Mandalore mask or is the wearer who wears it or bears it is the leader of Mandalore. So they're trying to find the mask. So the Mandalorians, they realize that the mask is in enemy territory, so they pack up everything and they're leaving, and they eventually they are conscious, or they know that there's going to be a battle. They're going to have to fight the other Mandalorians because they're moving into different territory, another clan's territory. So they're coming, and then I believe they make camp. Or they're still moving. Nope, they do make camp. And an attack comes. And so they attack just before dawn. And they have these flying machines that help them battle. And Revan and Candarus Ordo help start those up, because the other clan has them already started up and has flown over to them, because they're not right next to the other camp. So the other clan is attacking them, and so they eventually defeat Clan Gendry is the specific name of the clan that they're battling, and so they eventually defeat them, and the Mandalorians then Revan has to reveal he's a Jedi, because remember, he defeated the Mandalore. He is like their arch nemesis. They all hate him. And so they're still okay with him being there. And so he's accepted, and but he's worried that he won't be. And that's where this chapter ends. So that's chapter 11. So we're at 20 minutes now. So hopefully we keep plugging along. We might stop around chapter 15 if I keep at this rate. Hopefully I might speed it up. So that's probably what I'll do. But I'm getting into territory where it's more recent for me. I know this stuff better. It starts getting more interesting and more it starts to pull you in more at this section. So we're on chapter 12 now, and so Scourge is kind of like fighting with Darth Nihris. No, not yet. Nihris didn't expect Lord Scourge back yet. But he comes anyways, and so he's waiting for her. And eventually she takes him with her to this other planet, I believe. But they discuss the defeat of Zedrix, and she's taking him to a planet that is believed to be the Emperor's homeworld, and he can never find out. So the Emperor is supposedly this immortal Sith, and we do not learn his name, I believe, but we later find out in the video game and comics and whatnot that his name is Lord Vitiate, Vitaate. I-A-T? I don't know, something like that. Vitiate. Or Wishiate, I believe. I don't remember. And he's also another, like, Lord of, not Sith, but he's also, I don't remember the name, and he hides out on Yavin 4 at the Musashi Temple. And so, fun fact, the Musashi are, like, big, burly Sith. And so that's kind of, it makes sense now. Musashi Temple, they're the type of Sith class. They're like Hulks, but he hides out there. That's a little background on Lord Vitiate. But they go to Nathema, and so it's actually punishable by death to travel to Nathema. So it's kind of like, why are you taking me here? I believe Scourge is kind of like questioning Darth Nihris's judgment. And so that's something to think about. But we're on to chapter 13 now. So, Clan Ordo. So that's their name, Ordo. They celebrate the victory. And then only six members of the clan died in battle. Which is a quarter of the casualties of Clan Gendry. And so they eventually celebrate. And they travel and they find like spires. And so it's like, I don't know, like they're just towers of ice. And they're not really towers. They're like cliffs, more like it. But they're smaller. They're more like circular, I believe. So that's how I interpret it. And so they begin to climb these and they're looking for the mask. And so there's two of them. So Revan and Candace Ordo and Candace's wife travel up one, and then I believe other members travel up the next. So once they reach the top, Revan, I believe, gets a dream or a vision, and it's I'll read what it says. Mandalore the Ultimate lay dying at his feet, coughing on the blood welling up in his lungs. He reached up and peeled off his mask, the most sacred symbol of his people. "It wasn't supposed to end like this," he said, his voice soft and low. "They promised me victory. Only now do I see how I was betrayed." Revan tilted his head to the side, puzzled. What are you talking about? They tricked me. We were never meant to win this war. They used me and my people to test their public strength. Who used you? A Sith. Dun dun dun. And this is where we end this episode. No, I'm just kidding. So that's the dream. And so Revan just remembers this out of nowhere. And for some reason, he's kind of like, he can't speak. He's just thinking. He's processing it. And then he has another memory from him and Malak, I believe, looking for this Sith tomb. And so I'll read that one to you as well. So Mandalore was telling the truth, Malak said. Did you really think his last words would be a lie? Revan asked. Now what? We have our proof, Revan said. The Sith are not extinct. They have to be stopped. What about the Mandalorians? Without the mask, they are nothing, Revan said, placing the mask inside the empty tomb. I'm going to say tomb. I don't know exactly what that word is. So they're in the tomb, and it's a sarcophagus, I believe, and they find a Sith Lord tomb. They hadn't, I don't believe, there was a Datacron, and it's a small cube. It's similar to Holocrons, but it's not the same. And so they found the mask there. I believe they left the mask there. And he had left. And beforehand, when he was leaving stuff there, he had left the mask there and the Datacron. But now they find it, and so they're in the chamber of this tomb, and so Candace, Ordo, and Revan are in there, and they find the mask, and so Vila and the others walk in, and he is holding the mask, and so she's like, "How dare you defile Mandalore's mask with your filthy Jedi hands?" Vila shouted. And so Revan and her. And Vila, Revan and Vila and Candoris are all fighting and like arguing. And so she's commanding him to step away. And then Candoris is like, he led us to Mandalore's mask, and you repay him with betrayal. And she's like, what are you talking about, betrayal? You turned your back on your own people. And for what? To throw away your lot in with Revan and the Butcher? And then they fight and they begin. And he's like, kind of like, Vila, you're the rightful ruler of Mandalore. And she's like, no, you are. You're supposed to be. It, and she's like, I'm not here to challenge you. Or no, that's what Ordo says. And so they fight in battle. And then they can't accept Revan. And so they fight, and Candoris is given a choice. He's given a choice to stay with Revan and save the galaxy as we know it, or go with the Mandalorians and help them. And he chose Revan. And so they begin to battle, and Revan and Candoris end up killing the Mandalorians and his wife, and so he's kind of like shocked in the next chapter. So we're going on chapter 14 now. So we're at 29 minutes. So I'm expecting to get through chapter 17. I know I'm just spitting all these chapters out, but we're gonna get through hopefully part two of the book. So currently we're in part one. So chapter 2 is, or chapter 17 is the beginning of part 2 of this novel. So I hope to get to that. Comment below if you think this episode is too long or too short. If you can comment. I know Spotify, I do not know Breaker or Radio Public, but I know Spotify does not allow you to comment. Apple Podcasts does, but I currently am still trying to get on there, waiting for that to happen. But we're going to move on to the next chapter. So Candorous is kind of just like shocked. And so they come up with a plan to not really take the blame, I guess. Blame it on droids or whatever. So they do mention, here I'll read it. Revan knew Candorous was hoping there would be something in the history that would help him understand why Vila had turned on him. From what Revan remembered of the story, it would offer a little solace, but he wasn't about to deny the request. His name was Lord Dramoth II. 1,000 years ago, his father, the original Lord Dramoth, ruled over a planet called Medrias. He was overthrown by another Sith named Lord Vitiate, who renamed the planet Nathema. With his father's death, the younger Lord Dramoth fled. He hid on Rakkad with a handful of loyal followers, and when he died, they buried him here with the Datacron. So, it had nothing to do with the Mandalore mask. And so he just decided to hide it there. So we do actually get Lord Vitiate and a little bit of his background. But that was. It also tells us that Lord Vitiate is 1,000 years old. So that's pretty interesting. He lives for a very long time. But Candorous eventually. In honor of Vila, he ends up taking the mask and saving Revan. And so that's what he had to do, is in order to save the galaxy, he had to save Revan. And so he becomes the Mandalore. And Revan goes to goes to Nathema, in the unknown regions. So, for those of you who, like me, have the Sith, or not Sith, the Star Wars, the Essential Atlas, which is technically Legends, I don't believe Nathema is going to be on there. So, if you're like me and want to look it up, Nathema, this book was printed and written in 2011. So. This book is newer than I believe the Atlas. So let me look up the Atlas currently. This Atlas was 2009. So I'm going to look up Nathema in the index and see if we can find it. For those of you Star Wars nerds out there like me who want to know what sector and where it is. I love looking up stuff in this book. So let's see, Nathema. So Nathema, by the way, is spelled Nathema. So na Nathia. Nathema. Yeah, as I suspected, it's not on here. But yeah, it's not. So sorry for those who were hoping it was. I apologize for the inconvenience. But anyways, that's basically what happens. They set a course to Nathema, and Candorous Ordo becomes the Mandalore. So, we are at 34 minutes now, and we're at chapter 15. So, we're gonna keep going. I'm excited to keep going. So, Scourge knew that Nyriss had been watching him ever since he confronted Zedrix, and so they go to Dremund. They leave Jammu and Cass and go to Nathema as well. So this is where we get a little bit of backstory from, or from Nyriss, about the Emperor. So I'm gonna do a little bit of reading from the book, and to give you some background. So she goes on to tell the story. So she's like, the Emperor's name was Tenebrae. They say he was born with his eyes black as the void of empty space, and that he never cried even as an infant. No animal would come near him, and when he began to talk, his voice carried a weight and power that should not come from a child. At the age of 6, he began to manifest signs of the Force, marking him as one of the ruling elite. But his parents were simple farmers, and the Force was not strong in them. Suspicious about the boy's power, his father confronted the mother, who admitted to having an affair with the Sith Lord who ruled over them. The father flew into a rage, attacking the boy's mother. Tenebrae stopped him, feeding on his father's anger and hate to call upon the dark side. He snapped his father's neck with a mere thought, killing him instantly. His mother died more slowly. Tenebrae made her suffer for months as punishment for betraying the family, torturing her with the Force as he honed his powers. Now orphaned by his own hand, he made the others in his village bow down to him. Those who refused, he tortured and killed through the Force. So basically, he starts to build his reputation, and that's really it. At this section, she continues. Eventually, he met with the Emperor of the Sith, or the ruler of Nathema, the boy's father, and he claimed he was a Sith Lord. Surely he didn't really sit back and do nothing while the child conquered his people by village by village. The father was named Lord Dramoth, and he had heard rumors of the boy, and Dramoth acted more swiftly. The imp if Dramoth had been acted more swiftly, the Emperor might have been stopped, but it took almost 4 years. He decided to go see Tenebrae for himself. Dramoth intended to judge the child's power to determine if he was worthy of serving the Sith Lord, or if he should simply be executed. But Tenebrae had no intention of serving or of dying. When they met face to face, Tenebrae proved the stronger. Only 10 years old, he stripped his father of his power and his mind. Lord Dramoth spent his last moments weeping in terror, gazing up into the black eyes of his son. It took him 3 more years to gain control of the rest of Nathema. Dramoth's firstborn son fled rather than face his formidable half-brother, but only powerful Sith sought to seize the empty throne. All fell before the dark prodigy, and with each victory, he grew more and more powerful and more ruthless. At 13, he presented himself to Marka Ragnos, the Sith Lord of the Sith, ruler of the Sith Council. Impressed by the teenager's ambition and power, Marka Ragnos granted him the title of Lord Vitiate. His position as ruler of Nathema officially recognized Lord Vitiate, returned to his home to conduct his research into the depths of the dark side power. So he stayed there for 100 years, and when Marka Ragnos fell, Lord Vitiate did not join in the mad rush to claim his position. He was not part of the great hyperspace war against the Republic when Naga's Shadow and Ludo Kreesh fought for leadership of the Sith. He took no side, but in the aftermath of the war, after the defeat of the Sith at the Republic's hands, and basically the surrender and the flight, he invited all the Sith Lords to Nathema, and then basically he invited them to participate in a ritual to unlock the full potential of the dark side. He promised they would unleash power beyond anything they had ever witnessed or imagined. They didn't suspect the trap. So eventually, after they did it, he basically killed all the life force, everything's life force on the planet, and it became like a barren planet. Everything was gray and dead, and it allowed him to live forever. So it killed everything, the Sith Lords, and whatnot. And so basically this is Nyriss telling Scourge everything. So they then arrive on Nathema and they witness it. It's like absolutely like terrifying. And so Revan then meets there and or gets there and he sees it too, and it's like horrifying. But then I believe they're shot down by Scourge and whatnot, and they crash on Nathema. And then Scourge then captured him. Or chapter 16. Scourge then chapter basically Scourge captures him, and he doesn't want to return to Nathema, and they take him to Jamun Khaas, and so he's captured on Jamun Khaas. So we're now at chapter 17. So we're gonna keep going. All right, so as I said earlier in the previous at the beginning of the episode, it's probably a better idea to skip chapter 15, maybe even 16 too as well. So if you're listening to this point and you skipped, we've actually skipped chapter 15 and 16. But Revan, I'll give you a brief showdown or kind of what happened. Nyriss and Scourge arrive at Nathema, and she gives them a little background about Lord Vitiate, who is the emperor, and basically that this was his birthplace, whatnot, and so he became emperor. He was actually leader of the king of the planet, and he invited all the Sith Lords while they were in a great hyperspace war, and then he defeated all of them and became the Sith Emperor, and started the Empire elsewhere, and they hid, and so he did that. And then Revan arrives at Nathema as well, and he's captured by Scourge, and he's taken back to Dramund Khaas. So, chapter 17. Bastila tucked her son into bed. So now he's 1 year old, and she's just kind of remembering about how Malak had been defeated, and most citizens of the Republic hoped to enjoy decades of peace. But instead, a group of rogue Jedi had broken away from the Order, plunging the galaxy once more into civil war. So this war was led by a woman named Kyria. The rogue Jedi turned to the dark side of the Dark Side teachings uncovered by Malak and Revan. Kyria took the name Darth Treya, and her followers called themselves the Sith after the long-lost species that had invaded the Republic a millennium before. They began a systematic purge of the galaxy. So they were hunting down those who still held fast to the Jedi Code, killing them by the tens of thousands. Their relentless pursuit virtually wiped out the Order, and those few who managed to flee or hide survived. Had Revan returned to face this new threat, Bastila would have eagerly fought by his side. Together, they could have been able to quell the uprising, ending it before the horrors of war enveloped the Republic and millions had lost their lives. But she had heard nothing of her husband since he set off with Candace Ordo 4 years earlier. So basically it's been 4 years since Revan left, and so she's kind of thinking about Revan and kind of missing him. And so she's thinking, I think she's just always thinking about how can she get him back, or when will he come back. So I just read a little bit from the book, and then a little bit not from the book. That was just me. I'm gonna read a little bit more. Alone, she dared not challenge Darth Treya and her followers. Instead, she had focused on keeping her son alive. It had been the exile Mitra Surik who had taken up the fight against the rogue Jedi. 3 years after Revan's unsuccessful attempt to locate her, she had emerged on her own to oppose the and eventually defeat Darth Treya. Like Revan before her, she became the savior of the galaxy, and also, as with Revan, there were many who felt her recent actions could not atone for the sins of her past. So basically, she had been a villain, not a villain, but she had kind of partnered with Revan before he was a Sith, but that no one really believed in Revan as a hero beforehand, before he became a Sith, and that was kind of her backstory. But now Mitra has met up with Bastila, and so basically she's finding out that Revan and Candace had left, and so I believe she then tracks down T4, Revan's droid, and so Revan's been a prisoner for 4 years now. That's just something to think about. And so they know that Candace had become the Mandalore, and Revan helped them find the mask. And so they're kind of thinking about how the Sith maybe aren't as extinct as the Jedi thought, and they're contemplating on just where Revan could be. And so she then gives a holovid to Mitra and other items to Mitra to give to Revan when she finds them. So basically, that's her goal, and so really, like the mask and things like that, his robes and whatnot before when he was the warrior, and she just wants Revan back. So with that, I think we're going to end our review or summary this episode of Revan. We are over halfway through, so maybe we can finish it. I think we're probably going to end up having to do it in two episodes. Next episode is going to be much, much, or probably shorter, so that the other episode is longer and not super, super short. Or we might make just one episode and make it really long. But we are stopping at chapter 18. Remember, if you want to maybe even read along or kind of follow along, or just read the book because you're really interested, look it up, Star Wars: The Old Republic, Revan. Great book. I don't believe Amazon is currently selling books. I have to check. Actually, I'm about to get a Thrawn book, so if it comes, we'll see. If it doesn't, then oh well. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. So, chapter 18. Say bookmark it if you are reading along or following along. Remember, if you want to call in or leave a message, go to anchor.fm/legendslovers, or just slash, I don't know what the difference is, but Legends Lovers. And then you can it can actually it gives you links to Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, and Google Podcasts, but the Google Podcast link does not work. So unless it works for you guys, great. If the podcatcher of your choice allows you to leave a review, I got one rule for you. Make or two rules for you. Make it good, okay? And then if you really have a problem, call in or please leave a comment. And try not to be super negative because I'm really open to everyone's suggestions. And I really want to make this podcast experience better for everyone. So, like I've ended the last episode, I'll see you next episode. And that concludes our episode for May the 12th. So, like I'll finish all episodes, and like I have finished my episodes, may the force be with you.